great to be with you all once again in the Lord's house. Share the Word of God with you. We appreciate all the love and care we've experienced. And Brother Graber commented about the weather outside. And kind of fitting, it takes us back to when we first moved to Traverse City in January of 1975. It was pretty much just like this. So, takes us back. I recently, in the last few months, started wearing a hearing aid. I guess it was buzzing or beeping this morning. So anyway, I don't like to wear them both, so I wear one in one ear at one time and one in another at another time. And so if you hear some beeping or something, just raise a hand. I don't need to listen while I'm preaching, so I'll just pop it out and go on. I hope you all listen. I don't have to. Lord's worked this on me, so I can share it. Don't need to hear everything just well, but we again are so thankful to have had this time to be up here with you. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 11. This is the account of really one of the first missionaries in the New Testament. One of the first missionaries in the New Testament. This is the account of Barnabas being sent to Antioch. And we do believe that a missionary should be sent, should be not only sent of the Lord, but should be sent and authorized from an existing New Testament church of the Lord Jesus. And this was the case of Barnabas. And we find in this missionary journey of Barnabas that he exhorts the people in a certain way. And we would like to exhort you in a similar way this morning. God has given us, and I fear too many times this is overlooked, or maybe not realized to a fullness. But God has given us a great promise in His Word about aiding and strengthening and providing as we follow a godly purpose, as we are moved in our heart to follow the Lord in service and in His way. God has promised His grace. And His grace will always be sufficient. Will always be more than enough. That's what sufficient is. Sufficient grace is always more than enough. And so follow along with us as we seek to share this word. We want to be an encouragement. When you serve the Lord, you will be challenged. When you serve the Lord, there will be times of discouragement. When you serve the Lord, there will be times of trials and tests. It's not if you're going to be tried or tested. It's when you're going to be tried or tested as a servant of the Lord, following the Lord. And we take our text here in Acts chapter 11, and the title of our message this morning is The Great Power of Godly Purpose. The Great Power of Godly Purpose. We find in Acts chapter 11, verse 19, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that rose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, they spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, the Lord's church there in Jerusalem, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. They sent out a missionary. His name was Barnabas. They authorized him to go as far as Antioch, who when he was come, or when he came, and had seen the grace of God, was glad. You know, whenever you see the grace of God, see the effects of the grace of God, it gladdens the heart. It rejoices the heart. It lifts the spirits. And when he had seen the grace of God, was glad. And he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart, they would cleave, they would cling unto the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Let us pray. Dear God, bless your word now. We look into it for these few moments of time. Give us grace to share your word with your people. Open, give us hearing ears and open hearts. Father, let us draw nigh unto thee, and you might draw nigh to us. Help us to lay aside the thoughts and cares of the old world around us for this time especially as we seek to worship thee. Father, we pray your spirit might move and work, might, Lord, you supply whatever spiritual need that's in our hearts this morning. We thank you for all your love, mercy, and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Our text is found in verse 23. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. God has given us a promise of grace, a promise of a provision. When we have a purpose of heart in godly work and godly service, this is a power I fear is often not utilized. It's a power I fear that sometimes simply folks just aren't fully aware of, maybe as they could be or should be. This is no power of so-called positive thinking or anything such as that. But this is a power that when we move to the Lord, the purpose in our heart, in some way to follow him, to serve him, to go for him, to do for him, God gives us a promise of grace to accomplish, to fulfill, to go forth in that purpose. Nothing is really ever accomplished without a purpose of heart. I read, as one author put it, stated it after this fashion: you're never going to hit what you're not aiming at. You're never going to hit, you're never going to accomplish what you're not aiming at, what you're not have a purpose of mind, a heart for. And Barnabas, as he came and was doing this first mission work here that we have recorded in the scriptures at Antioch, he exhorted them all. This isn't just for preachers. This isn't just for teachers, or isn't just for the men of the church. He exhorted them all, young or old, male or female, he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave, they would cling, they'd be bound to the Lord, that they would cleave unto the Lord. As we consider the counsel, the exhortation, the charge that Barnabas gave them. They were all to be committed. They were all to make that purpose of heart. They were all to have that aim, desire, burden of heart to cleave unto the Lord. People get caught up in this world and the things of the world, and they get determined that they're going to cleave to something in this world. And so often it takes them away from the Lord.
Yeah.
So often it leads them astray. And we need a real purpose of heart in these times. I believe I said it earlier in one of the messages that never before has it been so easy for us to be distracted, for us to be occupied, for us to find ways to follow other than the Lord. God help us to follow the exhortation that Barnabas gave to the Antioch church, that with purpose of heart, they would cling. They would get bound. They'd get glued to God. They'd get a grip on God and never let go. You know, we have several examples in the Bible of God blessing purpose of heart. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 1. This is one I'm sure everybody here is familiar with. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. We find here that Daniel was a young man who experienced the horrors of witnessing his home, his country, overrun, much of it destroyed. Who knows how many lives he witnessed being taken by the Babylonian soldiers. He was hauled off to a foreign land, given a foreign name. He wasn't even allowed to keep his own name. And yet we find in the midst of this, Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel purposed in his heart, I may be in this foreign land. I may be a captive. I may not be free to make decisions for myself. I may not even be free to keep my own name. I may be stuck here to do service to a foreign, heathen, ungodly king. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. God worked. God moved. God provided the grace. Notice in verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love of the prince of the eunuch. God did that. He brought Daniel in a favorable light. He brought Daniel to a position to where he moved upon that old eunuch. He was just doing his job. He was just doing what the king told him to. But God worked on his heart to have a favor, to have a sense of care for Daniel. Daniel made his request, and the eunuch was reluctant. But Daniel said, put us to the test. Prove us. Verse 12, it says, "Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. Let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee." See, this was critical to this eunuch, because they were under his care. And in this position, in this time, if the eunuch faltered, or those under his care became sickly or weak or in any way feeble, so you didn't get a pink slip. You didn't get fired. You usually got beheaded or something. You got put to death. And so even though this guard, this eunuch, you know, was he favored, but he said here invert the latter part of verse 10, "Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king." This was a serious matter. This was a big deal to this eunuch. But Daniel said, "Test us. Give us a 10-day test. Put it to the test." So he consented. Prove them 10 days. Verse 15, "And at the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse," or some kind of vegetable dish that would be prepared in that time. And it says, verse 17, "As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams." God blessed the purpose. Not only did Daniel make this purpose in his heart, but so did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And God blessed the purpose. And God worked on the heart of their keeper. God not only blessed them in the health, but God blessed them spiritually. These four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Started with the right purpose of heart. It started with a burden. It started with Daniel's desire not to be defiled. He was in a strange land, all full of strange customs, even given a strange name. He was a slave. He had very little liberties concerning his own existence. And yet Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself. And oh, how God blessed. And oh, how God worked. And we all know the various accounts of Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. Daniel, the great interpreter of dreams and vision. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They wouldn't bow, and they wouldn't burn when they stood before the king in the fiery furnace. But it goes back to an initial purpose of heart.
Amen.
And we want to encourage you today. Young or old, male or female, whatever station of life you're in and you know the Lord, make a purpose of heart, make a personal commitment, make an earnest desire in your heart to go with God, to do for God, to let the Lord lead you and give you leadership. Pray. Seek a purpose of heart from the Lord. Stay the course. See it through. Oh, beloved, God will bless it. Now, why will God bless it? Look back with me in Ephesians chapter 2. We see our calling. We see God's working in we who are saved. Ephesians chapter 2. God has saved us. And in our salvation, He's ordained us to certain things, to certain works. And in Ephesians 2 and verse 8 it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." God has ordained, God has set an eternal purpose upon us who are saved to fulfill, to follow those good works. And it's all God's work. It's all to God's glory. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ah, there's so much today that's called Christian. Beloved, that's anything but Christian. There's so much today that's called worship that's anything but worship. Jesus said, "They that worship Him," from the very lips of Jesus to the woman at the well, from John 4, "they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Just getting a crowd of people together in a building and, you know, playing some rock music and jumping up and down and waving hands and getting all excited and so forth. A lot of folks call that worship. Lord knows. Lord knows. So much modern day preaching, so much preaching that in these mega churches and one thing and another, it's all a prosperity gospel, a prosperity doctrine, and it's all to tickle the itching ears of so many people out in the world today. Jesus said, "They that worship Him must worship in spirit." Today in so many so-called churches, the idea of the truth of doctrine, it's outright despised. I've witnessed and talked to folks. "Oh, don't give me any doctrine. I don't want to go to a place that preaches a bunch of doctrine. I just want to go somewhere and enjoy praising the Lord." That's not church. Jesus spoke to the multitude, and He was primarily speaking to His disciples. The Sermon on the Mount. When He got done, what was said? Look back in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, when Jesus concluded the Sermon on the Mount, through chapters 5, 6, and 7 here in Matthew. Verse 28. "And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine. For He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." What folks don't realize, doctrine simply means a teaching or an order of instruction. And these folks that say, oh, I don't want any doctrine. I just want to, you know, get with folks and praise the Lord. Well, that's their doctrine. That's their order of teaching and belief. It's not right. It's not what the Lord calls for. But that's a doctrine. We find Paul exhorted a young brother named Titus. I have an affinity for this book for some reason. The book of Titus. Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Beloved, that's still what God wants today. He don't want updated, modernized versions of his doctrine. He wants us to be old path Baptists. He wants us to stick with the stuff, to stay the course. May God help us. Amen. Oh, it's so appealing to the flesh. So appealing to the masses. To come together and get all physically pumped up and everything and to hear how God's going to make you rich and God's going to pay all your bills and God's going to give you a mansion, not over the hilltop. God's going to give you a mansion right now. It doesn't always work that way. Brenda and I have been married 48 years. I've pastored about 46 of the 48 years that we've been married. And we're really happy. Living in a 16 by 80 mobile home on a half acre of Kentucky land down outside of Milburn, Kentucky. God doesn't promise us a mansion necessarily now. But Jesus has said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Oh, beloved. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We see here God's promise of blessing. God's promise of power in a rightful purpose of heart. This is what one might say God's guarantee of grace as we commit ourselves to His purpose and His service. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 6, let's begin reading. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. And this has nothing to do with tithes and offerings. The context here is about charitable giving, about being burdened to help someone else out, someone else in need. Not about tithes. I've heard people take this out of context far too many times. This has nothing to do with our tithe. But every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Notice verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Whatever work God has ordained for us, we can abound in it. We can exceed in it. Whatever we purpose in our heart in a way of obedience and surrender and service to God, God is able. He shows it over and over and over throughout the Scripture. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that we can abound. God's grace, that God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency, always more than enough, in all things, may abound to every good work. I ran into some in my pastoring, and remember one situation in particular. Brother was being quite wayward in his service and attendance upon the Lord's house, member of the Lord's church, and so forth. We went, sought to earnestly just encourage him and just some way or another help him along. But I'll never forget, he made this statement. "Well, Brother Darrell, if God would just give me more grace, I'd make it to more services." It's not the way it works. Basically, the man was blaming God. That God didn't give him enough grace to show up for Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and special services and whatnot. No. As we purpose in our heart to be faithful and to be earnest and to serve and to go and to grow, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Man didn't have the right purpose of heart. Man was occupied in a whole lot of other things. But when we have the right purpose of heart, God is more than able. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Remember, a church member was all excited when we were pastoring in Willow Hill. One of his childhood buddies had gone to one of these community revivals, made a profession of faith. He asked if I'd go with him out to talk to the young man. I said, "Sure, I'd be glad to." We went out to speak with him. And he said, yes, he claimed the Lord as the Savior. And we talked to him, showed him some scriptures about how the Lord would be pleased for someone saved to follow him in scriptural baptism. Faithful church membership. A place to grow and mature in the things of the Lord. He said, "Well, now, I made my profession, but I don't know if I want to get that committed." That was his response. "I made my profession, but I don't know if I want to get that committed." Oh, beloved. As far as I know, the young man never did do anything for the Lord wise. And I know the young man that was a member of our church He said, well, I was hoping for better. I was hoping for a whole lot more. Beloved, the blessing of God, the power of God upon godly purpose. Each one needs to follow the exhortation of Barnabas. We go back to our text in Acts chapter 11. Verse 22. You know, I can't think of any more encouraging, any better words than Barnabas gave those new converts, that Barnabas gave to that new church of the Lord, that church at Antioch. Verse 23, and who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad. And he exhorted them. He encouraged them. He admonished them. He exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Brother, we can't give you any better admonition. Amen. We can't exhort y'all, young or old, male or female. That with purpose of heart, you would cling, you would cleave. You'd get stuck to the Lord and never get loose, never let go. May God bless. For God will, there's a great power in godly purpose. If you don't have a godly purpose in your heart and in your life, the old saying goes, you're never going to hit what you're not aiming at. Are you saved? You know, Barnabas came and he witnessed, he's seen the grace of God. He's seen these folks had been moved upon by the Lord. They've been convicted by the Spirit. They'd received the Lord as their Savior. He'd witnessed the effect, the working of the grace of God, and was glad. You know, there's no really greater gladness that one saved person will experience when they see a dear loved one, a dear friend, an acquaintance, a relative, experience the grace of God for themselves. Get saved. Get convicted by the Spirit of God. Quickened by the Spirit of God to turn from their sin and themselves. Trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Then we exhort you with all purpose of heart that you would cleave to the Lord.